The Holy Gospel according to John, the 6th chapter, beginning with the 1st verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After this, Jesus went to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him, because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. And Jesus went up to the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the festival of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread for these people to eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for all these people to get even a little." One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?" And Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Now there was a great deal of grass in this place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated, so also the fish, as much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, "Gather up the fragments left over, so that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world." When Jesus realized that they had come to take him by force to make him king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. And when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea. They got into a boat, started across the sea to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. Now the sea became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea, coming near to the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I, do not be afraid." Then they wanted to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the land towards which they were going. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I've got a friend to introduce you to, and I guess we'll introduce everybody to this good friend. All right, so here we go. I brought my friend with today. Please tell me you know who this is. Okay. Please tell me you know who this is. Anybody? Oh, I should have had him tell us who he is.
Buzz Lightyear, signing up.
Oh, thanks. You're supposed to stay awake. Buzz! Buzz is here with us today. And he's going to take us on a little itty-bitty adventure. First of all,
I am Buzz Lightyear.
Yes, we know. We know you're Buzz Lightyear. Thank you. Buzz. You notice he's moving his head? Anybody notice that? Whoa.
No readout yet if the air is breathable. I better keep my helmet closed.
Probably a good idea. There's a lot of Lutherans in here. Keep your helmet closed. Okay. So, Buzz is going to take me on a little adventure, okay?
Are you ready for adventure in uncharted space?
Yes. Are you ready for an adventure in uncharted space? The moon? Maybe. Maybe we'll make it to the moon. So tell me something about God's love. How far can it reach? How far do you think it can go? How about this far?
To infinity and beyond.
Oh, you're right. All right, so that's as far as God's love goes. It doesn't go over there. It goes farther, farther, farther. And he goes farther and 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 oops. I can't even go as far as God's love goes. It goes, as Buzz said, to infinity and beyond. That's pretty far. That's pretty far, isn't it? Shh, you can go to go to sleep. It's time to rest. He's gone to infinity and beyond. And really, in that Ephesians text for today, I turned you off. Shh. Okay. And this is the part that I want you to hold on to, too. I seriously thought I turned you off. No. This is what happens when you bring your toys to church. Okay. God's love surpasses all knowledge. And that power by Him, the power at work within us, is able to accomplish infinity and beyond. To infinity and beyond. More than we can ask or imagine. That love is so big that you can't run and hide. I couldn't go on vacation for 2 weeks all the way out to the ocean and escape it. It followed me. It'll follow you to the moon. It'll follow you to infinity and beyond. How's that sound? Yeah, all right. It is pretty amazing. Come on. Have a little more excitement in the action. To infinity and beyond. How about we get them to say it? All right. God's love is to infinity and beyond. There. I know you're tired, and it's been 2 weeks since you've seen me. But let us pray together about this amazing love. Dear Jesus, we thank you for this amazing love that is to infinity and beyond. Amen. Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, you can probably guess where we're going with this today from Ephesians as we continue with Ephesians. This idea that nothing is too big. So, since I know you've been waiting to hear me talk for 2 weeks, I'm going to invite you to talk. Share with your neighbor the biggest thing you have ever accomplished or imagined. Go ahead, share with your neighbor the biggest thing. I don't care how ridiculous it is, share the biggest thing you've either accomplished or imagined. All right, it kind of sounds like you've had time to share the biggest thing, a 10-pound walleye. I've heard of bigger. But anybody else want to share what their neighbor said, since I'm sure the person won't want to share it themselves? What is the biggest thing your neighbor accomplished or ever imagined? Children. Children. Yeah, that's good. Anybody else? Don't be shy. A master's degree. That is pretty big. There you go. Got married and stayed married. That is true. That probably covers both. Well, for me, my biggest accomplishment probably would be, as has been said, my family. That's probably the biggest thing that I've accomplished so far in my life. The biggest thing that I possibly could ever imagine so far is traveling in space on a starship at warp speed. I really want to do that, and I imagine it can happen. I want to go way out there, way out into the infinity. That's the biggest thing I've imagined. And can imagine. And we all have diverse, grand things that we've accomplished or imagined in our lives. And they are great. But I probably gave this away in the children's sermon. What if there's something even bigger? Even grander? Even more expansive? As we continue through Ephesians, there's one word that stood out to me in Greek that I had to look up because I said, I remember this differently. It must mean something else. And Greek was about 6 years ago. So, huperek, I even wrote this out so I could say it. Huperek perisu. Anybody know what that means? Because I butchered it, I'm sure. It has many definitions. Abundantly, far more. Exceeding in number. Surpassing. Infinitely more. More remarkable. Or my favorite besides infinity, much more than all. That is what we're pulling from Ephesians, and what really stood out to me this time. That the power, now to him who by the power at work in us is able to accomplish abundantly far more, infinitely more remarkable things, much, much more than all, than we can ask or imagine. So what is God capable of? What is God capable of? How is it possible that you can do possibly any more than I can think, imagine, ever done? How is it possible? This is where you get to chime in with the answer that we all probably know. Don't be as receptive as the kids this morning. You know the answer to this. How is this possible? It's the Sunday school answer. Jesus. Jesus. In one way, Jesus and the love he has that surpasses all knowledge. A love that accomplishes much more than we can ever ask or imagine. Last week in Ephesians, we looked at a divide that had taken place between Jews and Greeks and Gentiles, and how by the cross he abolished that divide, creating one new humanity, bringing us together, proclaiming peace. If you were in that time, do you think that's something you could ever imagine happening? Do you imagine that the Jews and Gentiles, the Jews and everybody else in the world, could possibly have a divide come together? In your wildest imagination, do you think Democrats and Republicans can ever get together? I don't think so. I heard that from a few people. Do you think it's possible? And yet, by the cross, he abolishes a divide. This divide, creating one new humanity, bringing us together. I cannot comprehend that. I read it. We read it at text study. We sat there for 15 minutes saying, I did not understand what this was saying the first time we read through it. It is hard for us to comprehend, ever understand, more than our knowledge seems to be able to process, more than we could ever ask for or imagine. Do you need some signs of this? Well, you don't have to go any further than the gospel for today, to that Jesus and God can accomplish infinitely more than we can ask or imagine. Think about 5,000 people. Let's say we pull all of Forest City about two times together. We'll get all 8,000 people together. And they're hungry. Is there any way you're going to feed them? There's no Bills. Bills doesn't exist. There's no Casey's. There's nothing in Forest City. The corn's already gone. I'm just trying to make this as hard as possible. There's no food. Can you imagine a situation where this is possible? Was it a snap of the fingers? And there was food for everybody? Did it just happen? Perhaps. What if it's, as I've heard before too, that there's one person inspired others to share with one another? Is that possible? Do you think stubborn Norwegians that are going to hold on to their food because they need it are going to share with their neighbor easily? Who said no? Well done. Thank you for being honest. We might not share. And yet, we can't imagine it. And yet here it happens. 5,000 people are fed. It's a miracle, any way you look at it. Whether it was everybody sharing of their abundance, or truly what is that miracle, it's still a miracle that only God could accomplish. What about death on that thing? Can you imagine coming back from that? If I nailed you to that cross and it wouldn't fall and you were guaranteed to die, are you coming back? No. No. You are way awesome today. I'm coming over here. Thank you. Nice. No. Can you imagine Jesus being on that cross? His own friends can't imagine it. They could maybe ask for it, They're more asking questions of why, not come back. But on the third day, Jesus comes back. That's more than we could ever ask for or imagine. A love that surpasses all of our knowledge. Because we understand we have a finite amount of years. We don't know how many, but eventually that clock will run out. And the annoying thing is we really like to have that control over that. We like having the power. We like knowing the answer. We probably wouldn't like to know when we're going to die, but we want to know. We want to know. But instead, it goes beyond us. God goes above and beyond, to infinity and beyond, filling us with the fullness of God. God does that, not ourselves. We're filled with that love, filled with those promises, filled with everything that can do infinitely more, more than anything. Much more than all than we can possibly ask for and imagine. Through Jesus, nobody is beyond God's reach. I'm not beyond God's reach. You're not beyond God's reach. People outside these doors are not beyond God's reach. There's nowhere they can hide that God cannot find them. And for us who like having all the knowledge, I think it was said here when the youth were leading the service, it can feel like a double-edged sword. We love it to death when we know that it's for us. This promise of grace, forgiveness of sins, and eternal life. This promise that God's love will do infinitely more for me, I can get on board with that. But as Nadia said at the gathering too, what about those that we don't like, those that don't like us, those that are different from us, can feel like a double-edged sword because we can't understand how God's love can be for all those people on the margins, how it can be for my enemy, how it can be for those that have committed the greatest crimes of all. Where is that God's love? But God's love surpasses our understanding and does much more than all we ask or imagine. So I want you to do one more thing together as we close. I want you to turn to Ephesians 3. I know there's Bibles, because you're going to say this prayer to your neighbor, because we are all in this boat. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. I want you to read that to your neighbor. And if you're at home listening on the radio, read that aloud to yourself. And I will read it to you. Ephesians 3, 14 to 21. Read that to your neighbor. All right, if you hadn't quite finished, you can continue reading it. But I'm going to read this for our radio listeners and for all of you to hear one more time. And hear these words of who it is that we are giving all this power to. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through the Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and knowledge and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who by the power of work at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly, infinitely, to infinity and beyond, more than all we can ever ask or imagine. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ to all generations, forever and ever. And let us all say together at the very end this wonderful good news for us all, that God has given us love that's beyond our knowledge, beyond our possibility to comprehend, to ask for. And it is a wonderful gift for us and for all. by God. All God's people say together,
Amen.